Let us pray. Father, we bless you and thank you for this day. We pray now for preaching power. Hide me behind the cross that people would hear and see you, the hope and light of the world. Let everything that we do and everything that we say be pleasing in your sight, to help those who need you to know you and help those who know you to grow in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most valuable attributes that a person can have today is credibility. Whether it's a leader who's trying to give you guidance and direction, or just a friend or family member who's giving you advice, people value credibility. And in order to trust someone, you have to be able to believe in them and believe what they say. Surveys show that a person's credibility rating, their believability, can go up if they have at least five attributes or five things working in their favor. Write this down, if you will. Number one is honesty, that you have to perceive the person being honest or genuine. Number two, consistent. They can't tell you one thing over here and tell you something else over there. They need to be consistent in what they say and how they interact with others. Number three is competency. They have to show a level of competency. You don't want folk telling you what to do who aren't doing it themselves. They have to have a level of competency. Number four, they have to be a clear communicator. In other words, you shouldn't have to guess what they are saying or guess at what they're trying to communicate to you. They have to be a clear communicator. And here's the fifth thing. They keep their word and they do what they say they will do. Now, there are other attributes that you can add to that list, but those five are a good place to start. That person keeps his or her word. They do what they say they're going to do. At the end of the day, you have to believe the credibility of a person if you are going to follow their advice, if you're going to trust the information that they give to you. Now, here's the question I want to ask you today. Think about this for a moment. Who is the most credible person you know? Who is a person that if they tell you something and you had to bet your life on it, that's the person that you would trust to tell you the truth, to give you the best information to their ability? Who is the person that when they talk, you believe what they say? Now, you may be struggling to figure that out because, you know, we all know some people who lie for no reason. Right, I know we all know somebody who just lies, and you say, why they lie? They ain't even got to lie. They lie about stuff they don't even have to lie about, right? They lie so much, they believe their own lie that they created and they've been telling. But the truth of the matter is, when we think about somebody who is credible, somebody that we should believe, there's really nobody greater than God. Like, when you think about the credibility quotient or the credibility factor when it comes to God, no one meets or exceeds the five traits of a believable person more than God. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you around this idea of believing God. Now, I'm going to change the subject. So I'm going to give you the subject that is on your outline, but I'm going to give you another subject that I want you to write down, okay? So on your outline, you will see the blessings when you believe God. The blessings when you believe God. But here's the subject I want you to write in somewhere on your outline. How to believe as you're blessed by God. How to believe as you're blessed by God. You see, many of us are not living out what God has commanded us or what God has planned for our lives. And in a very real sense, the suggestion is that you're doubting God. You don't believe what God has said. Now, I've just argued for you today that there's nobody who has greater credibility, nobody who has greater believability than God. So then the question is, why do we believe and follow other people more than we believe and follow God? Why do we listen to ourselves when what we think is contradictory to what God says? If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. Those of you who are watching, you can download the outline from our website, goodhope.org, or you can download the app, and there's a fill-in-the-blank outline available that you can fill in on your smartphone or tablet device. In our text today, God sees to it that a supernatural confession is proclaimed, a confession that we're going to look at today, noting that this testimony is the first testimony that was given from human lips about the Lord Jesus. And the purpose of this message today is to show you that there are blessings waiting for you when you learn how to believe God, when you learn how to trust God. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God. You need to do what is necessary to encourage your belief in God. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39, the New Living Translation reads, "A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth." God sees to it that even in a moment of potential doubt, God would set in motion all that was needed to encourage Mary to believe what God said. Mary needed assurance. She needed to know that God was with her, and she needed to obey God in order to experience the blessings of God in your life. Now, here's the question. How do you obey God and be encouraged when you need encouragement? Because when I tell you that you have to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God, let me tell many of you in here, one of the problems with your belief in God is that you don't encourage your belief in God. Encouragement to belief is like water to a plant. You have to learn how to do what David did and encourage yourself. Watch this, not always encouraging yourself just because you're going through some bad times, but learn how to encourage yourself so you can stay in a good place. Look at A. You need to move with pace. Pace. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. If you want to encourage your belief. The word for haste there, the word for moving fast, she hurried to the hill country of Judea, the text says. It means to move with speed, with diligence, with a zeal. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've been procrastinating instead of moving with pace. And one of the reasons your belief in God has not been strengthened and fortified is because you have stayed where you are instead of moving with pace the way God has called you to move. Mary moved. She went from Nazareth and moved to the hill country of Judea to see Elizabeth and Zechariah. Here's B. You need to move with purpose. You need to move with purpose. If you're going to encourage your belief in God, you need to move with pace, but you also need to move with purpose. Now, here's what's interesting. I get that Mary moved with purpose because she was not going on a casual friendly visit and she just didn't happen to be in the neighborhood. In order for her to get from her neighborhood to where Elizabeth lived, she had to travel some 90 to 100 miles to visit Elizabeth in Hebron. In other words, she was intentional about making this trip. She had a very specific reason for going. Let me stop right here and put a quarter in the meter for somebody, because you cannot encourage your belief in God and what God has said if you are not more intentional and move with a sense of purpose. You've got to be strategic in what you do. In other words, you've got to start thinking, not just one move ahead, two moves, three moves. You know what? If this is where I want to end up, maybe I need to go here before I do that in order to do this. And you've got to be intentional about what you're thinking. Let me see if I can help somebody. If you're planning to drive on a long trip, and you're going to be intentional about this drive. In other words, you just didn't get in the car and just start driving and say, you know what, let me just go on over here to California. Right? If you're planning that drive, you will think about what time you want to leave based on when you're going to arrive. You're going to think about, are you going to stop in a hotel, a motel, anywhere along the path? If you plan on leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to probably gas up the night before. Well, wait a minute, before I even gas up, you know what? Let me get my tires checked and let me make sure my car is running good, or else I'm going to probably have to rent a car. You start thinking intentionally. Am I making sense? The same is true if you are going to encourage your belief in God. You've got to be intentional. But watch, see, you need to embrace God's plan for your life. You've got to embrace God's plan. You've got to move with pace. You've got to move with purpose, and you've got to have a plan. She embraced God's plan for her life. Here's what we know. Mary heard that Elizabeth, in her old age, had gotten pregnant from her husband, Zechariah, and it was miraculous. Elizabeth is an old lady who had never had any children. Zechariah is an old man. He's a priest who has already resigned himself to the fact that they would not have children. Childbearing years have long passed. And Mary gets word more than 6 months earlier, that Elizabeth was pregnant. That's a miracle. How did that happen? And then Mary gets a visit from the angel, saying a miraculous birth is going to happen in your life. Can you imagine Mary thinking, well, now, you know, I know Elizabeth just had a miracle, but, you know, she got a husband. I don't even have a husband. I've never been with a man. Same God, another miracle. And Mary has to choose whether she is going to embrace God's plan for her life. Mary goes to see Elizabeth and is encouraged, because what God did for her encouraged Mary to know that the same miracle working God could do a miracle in her life. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you need to be encouraged by knowing if God did it for somebody else, God can do a miracle for you. Don't be envious. Be encouraged by what God does for somebody else. Let me put a quarter in the meter, because some of y'all are quiet in here. Too many times we look at somebody else and we get mad because of what God is doing in somebody else's life. And we get mad because he's not doing it in our life, instead of being encouraged by God blessing somebody else, because what God has done for somebody else, he can do the same thing for me. If God did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. Because God is no respecter of persons, if God is not doing it in my life, then the question is not, why is God doing it for them? The question is, what am I not doing for God to do it for me? Told you, number one, you need to do what's necessary to encourage your belief in God. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to recognize when God affirms what he promises to do in your life. You need to recognize when God affirms what he promises to do in your life. Thank you, Lord. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." So here comes Mary on this intentional, purposeful trip to see Elizabeth. And the Bible says several miraculous things happen. Here is Elizabeth. She's the wife of a priest. She's a woman with some status. But remember, she's old, beyond childbearing years. She is carrying a child who would be born and named John, and they would call him the Baptist. He would be the precursor of the coming Jesus. And the Bible says the first thing that happens when she hears the voice of Mary, the baby in her womb leaps for joy. It's as if John had prenatal perception to see in the womb what nobody could witness on earth. He saw through spiritual insight the conceived Savior in the womb of his mother. Some would argue, how old was Jesus in the womb of Mary? We don't know any more than the conception had taken place. So according to science, he had not reached an age of viability. But John recognized the conceived Messiah in the womb of Mary. And the Bible says he started doing a holy dance in his mama's womb. What's the second thing? Not only did Mary witness the Holy Ghost move in someone, but she also saw the Holy Ghost fill someone. Because watch what the text says. The text says, and Elizabeth was instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to give a spirit of a prophecy that came over her to pronounce how blessed Mary was. Now remember, Mary knows about the miracle that Elizabeth has experienced. But Elizabeth doesn't know about what's going on in Mary's life until the Holy Ghost fills her. That word fulfilled literally means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So here is Mary. If she needs affirmation for her belief in what God has said, she has a dancing baby in his mama's womb, and then she sees Elizabeth filled with the Spirit of God. Then watch the third thing. The text says Elizabeth spoke in a loud voice. She was filled with joy and exaltation, for the Messiah was in her presence. She proclaimed loudly how blessed she was to be in the presence of her Lord. Mary saw the Holy Ghost move inside of Elizabeth, saw the Holy Ghost fill her, and then heard the Holy Ghost speak through her. Somebody, wait a minute, before we go too fast and too far, let me just encourage you. Sometimes you got to learn how to see God moving in somebody and through somebody else. And I'm not saying you go looking for confirmation. I'm just saying recognize when the confirmation comes. Because God knows how to speak through a variety of means and a variety of ways. God had already spoken to Mary earlier in Luke chapter 1. Now we get to the place where she's with Elizabeth, and God says, let me co-sign on what I've already communicated to you. When has God affirmed he's doing something in your life? Who has God used to affirm that he's trying to do something in your life? How has God affirmed that he wants to do something in your life? Or did you just write it off? Did you just say, oh, well, that's just a coincidence. Oh, no, you know what? You just saying that. And they may not just be saying it. It may just be God saying it. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Let's read it together. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. See, if you think about it, Mary was somewhere between 13 and 16 years old, scholars believe. So she's a young lady. Elizabeth is a mature woman. Mary is a young lady just beginning life. Elizabeth is an established leader in the community of believers. So she has credibility, but the text says she does not allow who she is in the natural to stand in the way of her honoring what God is doing in the life of this little young baby. And she encourages Mary. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, if you're going to believe as you're blessed by God, you need to realize believing God positions you to receive blessings from God. Believing God positions you to receive blessings from God. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that some of us have not received the blessings that God has for us because we have failed to believe God. And because we have failed to believe God, we have not had the ability to access the blessings that God has for us. There is a tie, a connection between believing God and being blessed by God. Because watch this, even if you're blessed by God without believing God, you will never give God the glory for what you receive because you won't recognize that he is the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. When I believe, I position myself to see his blessings. Look at Luke 1:45. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Now, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary. You are blessed because you believe. Because you believed, you are blessed that the Lord will do what he said. Now, go down and look at Luke chapter 1, verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant. The angel is talking to Mary now. In her old age, people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. Verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So Mary gets a message from God, and then God confirms the message through Elizabeth. Listen, everything was in place for God to act. That word blessed typically is used to describe people who are blessed. Some translations translate this word happy. Some translate it prosperous. This blessing, however, was not something that was haphazardly given. It was given by God. The word believe there means to trust, to put faith in, to rely on someone or something, to put faith in. You believe in something. So, for example, you're sitting here right now and you didn't even think twice about it. You believe that that chair is going to hold you. You believe it right now. You believe it. You didn't check the weight capacity of the chairs. You didn't ask Brother Travis if there's been any problems with chairs. You believe and you sat down. Matter of fact, some of you have confidence because you sit in the same chair around the same area every week. That's your chair. That's your spot. And it's never let you down. You believe. You trust. You have faith in. Elizabeth says you are blessed because you have believed that the Lord would do what he said. Everything was dependent on Mary to believe him. And once she believed him, it was done. Now, let me help somebody here regarding you believing God. Listen to me carefully. Some of you demand a level of specificity before you believe anything or anybody. And many times that gets in the way of you believing and trusting God. Because you want details before you take a step. And God says, no, you won't see the next step until you make the first step. And you won't see what I'm going to do until you do what I've told you to do. Listen, Mary could not see all that had been arranged for her. All she could hear was what God said and then make a decision whether she was going to believe God or not. She didn't know anything about the legions of angels that were prepared to protect her and her baby. She had no idea of the future and all that she and that child would face. She knew that God had spoken to her, and she made a decision that what God said was enough. Can I ask somebody in here? Has what God said enough for you to move from where you are to start going where God wants you to be? Or are you requiring a fully detailed itinerary from the Holy Ghost before you make one step? I was telling somebody this past week that for 30 plus years, I've known without question that this is where God wanted me to be. No doubt in my mind. There were several churches vacant in Houston, and I knew God wanted me to come to Houston. I didn't know where. And there were several churches that were vacant, churches that were, quote unquote, in better shape, stronger memberships. And I remember I submitted my resume to the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I'm talking to a friend of mine in Dallas who would allow me to preach while I was in seminary. Great friend, encouraged me. And he submitted his resume to another church that was vacant in Houston at the same time. And he said, man, you need to put your resume in over here where I put my resume. I said, no. So I put my resume in over at Good Hope. He said, Good Hope? That old raggedy church? He said, man, that church is so old, man, it's dead. He said, DZ, come on, man. You got training. You got. He said, I said, man, listen, I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. I said, so I'm not putting it in anywhere else. I believe this is where God wants me to be. Because watch this. I was not focused on where the church was. I saw what I believed God was saying. So for over 30 years, I've known where God, I've had churches recruit me, ask me to submit my resume, ask me if I was interested in going there. Never crossed my mind, never sent a resume anywhere, because I knew this was where God wanted me. But listen to me carefully. I told the person, it's just been the last several years that I've really come to accept why I've been here. I knew where, but God has made it so clear as to why I'm where I am right now. And I believe God. I need somebody to hear me today. Because through the life of Mary and her interactions with Elizabeth, God needs somebody in here right now, somebody who's listening, somebody who's watching, to know unequivocally that God has a plan for your life. And there's always going to be a challenge when you don't encourage your own belief in what God has said. See, here's what you got to understand. When God speaks, when God gave his promise to Mary, when God gave his promise to Elizabeth, you have to understand that God, when he speaks, does not speak hypothetically, but he speaks with the certain of a today prophetic voice. And when I say that, here's what I mean. Because he's not limited by time, he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. What appears to be prophecy to you is certainty to God. And while you trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Mary didn't know what she would have to go through. Mary didn't know they would have to go to Egypt. Mary didn't know they would have to hide out. Mary didn't know that baby would be born in a manger. Mary had no idea what was coming. But she believed God. And I'm here to tell somebody today, just believe him. You don't know what God has in store. But just believe him. Believe God so you can be blessed by God. Believe God so you can live out your fullest potential. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and I'm going to close here. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. It was because she believed that Mary would rise to be blessed among all women. It was because she believed that Elizabeth would give birth to a child who would prepare the way for Messiah to come. And my question to you is, will you believe? Will you encourage your belief in God and trust him to do what no other power can do? Let's pray. Father, we pray now and we ask your blessings upon what has been said and what has been done. I pray for those who are watching. I pray for those who are listening. Those who are under the sound of my voice. Help them to understand, God, that the promises that you have made are yes and amen. But if we don't believe, we will short circuit the blessings that you want to provide in our lives. I pray somebody like Mary believed, like Elizabeth believed, would believe today. That you have a miracle that you want to deliver to them. That you have a blessing that you want them to give birth to in their own life. We thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Pastor Bill comes to give us the invitation, you remember the story. Jesus went to a village. And he had been doing miracles all across the region, and he gets to this village and he can't do one miracle. And they're looking at Jesus like there's something wrong with him. How could you do all those miracles over there and you can't do any miracles over here? And Jesus says, it's because of their lack of faith, because they don't believe. They can't see what I can do, so they won't see what I've done in the lives of other people. All because they won't believe. And there's somebody today, I'm knocking on your door. Matter of fact, I might be knocking on your door. I'm sitting at your table. Because the only thing that has held you back, it's not family members, it's not friends, it's not spouse, it's not children. It's you and your failure to believe God. Whatever you need him to do, whatever you want him to do, your failure to believe God, your insistence of getting in the middle of things, your insistence of thinking you got to fix it instead of trusting him, has kept God from moving on your behalf. You don't have to say amen. If you want to say anything, say ouch. But we've got to learn how to believe God. Somebody give God a hand of praise as Reverend Bell comes.